Hi there, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. Today I'm continuing on with my Salvation Road series, and we're looking at walking in Jesus, and today what I want to look at is prayer. The objectives out of this session is to understand the different forms and purposes of prayer, to identify when one should pray, and to learn what is and is not an appropriate use of prayer. So in overview, prayer is a key element of the walk of a Christian. There are many things we need to learn about it. Jesus prayed many times, and he taught us how important prayer is, both as a means of communication to God and as part of the arsenal of weapons of spiritual warfare. But it can be used inappropriately, and there are some inappropriate practices in the modern church, and these need to be reviewed and examined if we are to have an effective prayer life. So the first scriptures I want to go to is, I want to look at Luke chapter 11 verse 1, and I'm also going to look at Matthew chapter 6 verses 9 to 13. In Luke 11 1 it says, "He was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" So in this first verse we see Jesus' disciples asking him to teach them how to pray, just as John the Baptist did with his disciples. And it's important that we learn how to pray so that we don't do it incorrectly. Prayer is communication. When we pray, we are communicating with and to God. So the second scripture in this section is Matthew 6 verses 9 to 13. And it says this, "Pray then like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So in response to the disciples' request, Jesus showed them how to pray using what is known as the Lord's Prayer. This was an example prayer, and it can be studied and broken down to understand how to pray. Now, one of the first things we need to understand about this prayer is that when Jesus said this to him, the disciples asked him after he had finished praying, because the Lord had been praying, and then when he had finished praying, then they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, or what we call the Lord's Prayer today, was not his actual prayer. This is an example. It was a method of teaching. So first, what we do to understand how to break this prayer down, first, we address the prayer to the Father. And then we offer him the praise and glory he deserves and recognise his authority over all things. Then we make our request of God, whatever it is we are seeking, to maintain life, to overcome issues and to seek his protection and forgiveness. And then we close the prayer, again, recognising God's glory, and we utter the Amen in the name of Jesus, as we're told in another place. So this is an important thing to understand. This Lord's Prayer was an example. It was the Lord giving an example of how we are to pray. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we read this: "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Prayer is communication, and this verse, as well as many others, tells us to pray and speak to God. He wants us to come to him with all of our joys and all of our problems, everything. He wants to hear what is on our mind and to be a part of our life. This is why we pray. We learn another valuable lesson about prayer in this scripture, and that is to be sure to give thanks to God. We can offer supplications to ask for what we might need or want, but we must also give thanks for all that the Lord has done and is doing for us. Let's face it, if you only ever come to someone with problems, people tire of it. So too with God. Yes, we will lean on his strength many, many times and use his shoulder to cry on sometimes. But when he delivers us or answers our prayer request, let's also share the joy with him. The next scripture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 19. "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit." This verse backs up the previous one that I just read in Philippians. We are encouraged to pray constantly. When we stop communicating with people, we lose connection. And it's the same with God. If we cease to communicate with him, the relationship suffers and we can lose connection. This can happen if we're beaten down by the world, but at those times, it's more essential to stay connected with God through prayer. We need his strength when we're weak. We see here also the need to rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances. Even when we are suffering, we need to find things that we can be joyful over or give thanks for. This is part of the Walking in the Spirit ministry, where we can be lifted up when we're down. We need to also use the power of the Holy Spirit and not quench the power of the Spirit. When we pray, we must also pray in the Spirit to be most effective in our prayer life. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, we see these words: pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Here we see the need to expand our prayer life beyond what we can do ourselves and to use the power of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. Praying in the Spirit is all about speaking in tongues. Tongues is a form of prayer where the Holy Spirit speaks directly to God on behalf of the individual. The method for doing this is covered in the next scripture. However, this is not possible to do unless you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. This gift is offered to all people who come to Christ, and it is up to us to seek and receive this gift. Without it, our walk with Christ will be much more difficult. And so I urge every Christian to seek the Lord over this important matter. In the next scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 13 to 16, we see these words: therefore, he who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say the amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? So, to have a full and effective prayer life, we need to receive the Holy Spirit and use the form of communication given by God through the Holy Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. Here we see that speaking in tongues is a form of prayer, where the Holy Spirit speaks to God on our behalf. This is important because the Holy Spirit knows what we need better than we do ourselves. But that doesn't mean we should only speak in tongues. We see here also that we need to both pray with the Spirit in tongues and pray with our own mind as well to seek the Lord over the matters that are important to us. So whenever we pray, do both. Pray for what we're seeking and then pray in tongues as well. This way we can be certain that the right messages are conveyed to God. In James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18, we find these words: is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. Elijah was a man of like nature with ourselves, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. Prayer has power. There is great power in prayer, as this verse tells us. Prayer is used here to heal the sick, to sing praise to God, and even to control the events of the elements. It's important that we seek the ways of righteousness so that our prayers have maximum effect. Prayer is powerful because in prayer we are seeking the assistance of the Creator of this universe to come to our aid. And if it is His will, through prayer, mountains can be moved, enemies can be defeated, and problems can be overcome. For there is nothing outside the control of God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 8 gives us a warning. It says this: and in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Just as there's great power in prayer, there are also ways to do it wrong. Jesus tells us not to heap up empty phrases that are worthless and are just noise. You do not have to pray long prayers, and if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it is very short. And while we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, when people recite that prayer, they're actually doing what the Lord said not to do in the scripture here. Repeating the Lord's Prayer over and over is heaping up empty words. The Lord's Prayer was an example of how to pray. It was never meant to be recited over and over. God wants to hear what we have to say. He wants to know what we're seeking and what our joys and our sorrows are. But when we recite the Lord's Prayer, or the prayers written in a prayer book for that matter, we're just heaping up empty phrases that have no meaning to God, because those prayers are not our prayers. And so God will ignore them, as this scripture tells us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says this: "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is another practice that the Lord tells us is worthless. Don't make your prayers a big song and dance. Don't pray in public for others to see, believing that they may think you to be more pious or reverent than you are. You are seeking the adulation of man rather than the ear of God. Your prayers to God are personal, and they are between you and God alone. So when you pray, go somewhere private where the conversation is just between you and the Heavenly Father. Praying is not meant to be a spectator sport. Yes, there are times when community or group prayers are merited, but personal prayer is exactly that. It's personal. Keep it between yourself and God to receive your reward, or to receive your answer from Him. The next scripture is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, you husbands, live considerately with your wives, bestowing honour on the woman as the weaker sex, since you are joint heirs of the grace of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered." This verse tells us that your prayers can be hindered if you do the wrong things. Although it specifically speaks about husbands giving honour to their wives, the same principle applies to other matters as well. We cannot expect to have our prayers answered by God if we are not living in a manner that is pleasing to God. That's hypocrisy, and God does not like hypocrites. As part of our walk with Christ, we are trying to learn what is pleasing to God and to live in His will. When we do that, then we can be assured that He will hear and answer our prayers. The last scripture I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, and at the same time I'm going to look at a scripture in Mark as well. But Matthew 21, 21 to 22 says this: "And Jesus answered them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and never doubt, you will not only see what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith.'" So finally, we see here that for our prayers to be answered, it's essential that we have faith and believe that they will be answered. In Mark 11, 22-25, it backs this point up where Jesus said this: "And Jesus answered them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.'" All of the gifts of God are based on and received by and through faith. Prayer is no different. It's because we have faith that we come to the Lord in the first place, and it's by faith that we believe we will receive our requests of Him. We must learn not to doubt over any of the things we ask in prayer, and to be strong in our faith, just as Abraham grew strong in his faith against which there appeared to be insurmountable odds. With God, there is nothing insurmountable. There is no mountain that can't be moved. And so we must know without doubt that He can do anything we ask of Him. So here's a couple of points to consider. Is your prayer life effective, or is it being hampered in some way? Consider the things that may affect it, and learn what needs to be changed. Secondly, can you see that speaking in tongues, which is praying in the Spirit, is an integral part of our prayer life? If you don't have this gift, seek it. As a call to action, prayer is based on faith, and receiving answers to your prayers means to get rid of all doubts. Seek how you can strengthen your faith in Jesus and so build a strong prayer life. The scriptures tell us to pray constantly, so look for opportunities to pray when you can on a daily basis, or better yet, many times throughout the day. Spend a few moments in prayer now to seek the Lord and ask how you can improve your prayer life, what changes need to be made, how can you draw nearer to God, what help or guidance do you need? So that's it for this session. The next session moves us into the fifth of the five walks with Jesus Christ. The past few lessons we've been talking about have been about walking in Jesus. And you know that we covered the others, walking without Jesus, walking with Jesus, and so on. Now, we'll begin to look at what it means to walk as Jesus walked. And so the first thing we're going to start on is a session talking about maturing in Christ. So until then, this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast, signing off and wishing you to have a great week, a blessed week in the Lord, and I'll see you then. God bless.